Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
801 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to get in, hurry. 713-780-3776. Maybe you're not as excited as Kevin, or maybe you are. I don't know. But it sure was. It was fun to watch a competent football team, and that's what they were. And you got to give. And again, Jerome, I think, hit it right away. He's like, "Oh, look, all the new guys, all the new coaches, and to actually have some kind of semblance of competency was really good to see."
Since the trade of DeAndre Hopkins, basically, I mean, we've gone through a pandemic, and inside the pandemic, we've had Bill O'Brien making terrible moves, Jack Easterman making terrible moves. Terrible
capital
contracts,
P,
terrible
capital
trades.
E, capital A, capital M.
Wait, how dare you say he wasn't doing things for the...
Capital P, capital E, capital A, capital M.
Is that Bill?
Yeah.
Is that ghost of Bill O'Brien?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate his ghost.
He wanted to come back. He texted me last night and was like, "Hey, you got drops for me tomorrow, right?"
I hate ghost
I'll be
of Bill
from
O'Brien.
Tuscaloosa.
I feel like he's necessary. You don't know where you come from if you don't know where you've been. So that's the whole point, though. Everything has been so gut-wrenching to me about the rebuild of this organization that seeing some guys come in and fly around and make a play here or there, people are accusing us of getting pizzas. I'll take a pizza, but yeah. This didn't even come from pizzas. This wasn't even a preseason pizza that was delivered. This is just how low my expectations are. This shows you how low my bar is. I've got a very low bar. You make some plays in the preseason, and I'm excited now. But that's where I am with this organization, unfortunately. We'll see what happens. Now, Anthony Miller, the Texans' new wide receiver who they traded for, he is already injured. And Tyrod Taylor talked about his wide receiver, Anthony Miller, and, you know, the missing Anthony Miller. Anthony Miller was out there. Kiki QT, by the way. There was a couple Kiki QT catches and sightings as well. But here's Tyrod Taylor.
There was also a drop.
Yeah, well, you know, that's going to happen with Kiki QT also. And luckily, there's been no injury so far. But here was Tyrod Taylor talking about the injury to Anthony Miller.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, anytime a guy gets injured, I mean, obviously, it is the nature of the business that we play. But he's a very talented receiver. We're definitely going to miss him on the field, but it's another opportunity for guys in the wide receiver room to step up and make those plays. Wish him a speedy recovery. I know he's probably disappointed about the injury as well as us, but more importantly, that he heals, makes a 100% recovery, and once we get back on the field, we'll be able to still spend some time and get on the same page and build chemistry.
Anthony Miller is a slight dislocation of his shoulder. They're going to have an MRI today. I can tell you, as somebody who's had a dislocation of the shoulder, I think I
don't
speak for the Texans.
Don't compare your dislocation.
I think
your
I speak for Anthony Miller
for
and the Texans.
Anthony Miller.
I was out for the whole year.
A true athlete. This is not what we do here.
If his injury
it's
was anything
like yours,
mine, he is done for the year.
It's nothing.
He might be
fell
back
off
for the
ladder because you do because dumb. He right. is a football player, an athlete.
I'm calling him out for the year.
Okay.
Wait, you think the NFL didn't give Lance their full training staff and all the facilities to rehab that shoulder because
I
they
asked
needed
him.
It
no,
back
he,
on camera?
Well, he had Danny Arnold, and he still was out for
well,
a year because
it,
of what?
It took
Non-athleticism.
A while. It took a while for me
That's
to get
what?
To Danny Arnold's. I separated it in late July, and I didn't get to Danny's and start working on it until, like, September.
Yeah, I just hesitate.
No,
to,
similar.
You know,
I've been,
yours.
John, listen, I've been through that injury.
I know
what he's up against. I would say the earliest Anthony Miller's back is playoffs.
What I would like to talk about is 4th and 2, first series of the game.
Yeah.
In the red zone, and you bring in Kyahmi Fairbairn. Now, is this an indication that Coach Cully, I like to call him Coach Cully too, by the way, because it's alliteration for one thing, and there's a level of respect there that I put on him that I wouldn't put on Deion. So Coach Cully is going to kick a field goal in a first preseason game, a meaningless game, as opposed to, and there was some talk on Twitter about, you know what, where's you know what? Is this how it's going to be?
Well, Green Bay went for a fourth and short on their own, like at their own 38-yard line or whatever. And they're like, let's see what happens on fourth down.
Right. And, you know, it's the first drive of the game. It's the only one that Tyrod Taylor is going to be in. You know, let's see if we can grind out a first down. And if not, we walk away with not 3 points. Here's Coach Culley on his decision.
What we were going to, and when it was third down and two, we had two plays right there. Tim knew we had two plays, but we didn't get any yards there. And then when we didn't get any yards and we didn't get in a situation where we had a fourth and one, you know, we decided to get the kick, and we kicked it. But the next time when we got in that situation, any time we were down across the 50 and we got an opportunity to be able to stay on the field in that particular situation, we're going to put it on our upfront people, and we're going to give them an opportunity to get the first down in those situations.
Yeah, I don't know. Is fourth and two that much harder than fourth? I don't know. In a first preseason game, you know what? If that's what that's who you are, that's what you do. Okay, I get it. And you know, it was a little bit important for him to get a win, I guess, so to walk away with points as opposed to disappointment. I get it, but I have a feeling Coach Culley is going to be very conservative. Agree or disagree?
Yes, I think he's going to be conservative, and here's why, and I like it, and I'll tell you why I like it. And they mentioned it. I was kind of surprised they mentioned it on the broadcast. Kevin Kugler, the play-by-play guy, brought it up. Spencer played into it a little bit as well. They talked about the fact that this is the mode for the Texans. They said this in the second quarter. This is what the Texans want to do this year. So obviously there's been a discussion. They want to run the ball. They want to convert, you know, stay ahead of the chains, convert as many third downs as possible, and basically win time of possession. The only chance the Texans have of being a relatively successful team, and that term can take on whatever, you know, whatever your particular bar is that they have to jump over, the only way they're going to be able to do that is to shorten games. I really believe that. The longer the game is, the more difficult it's going to be. When I say longer, I mean more plays that are run. You have got to eat up clock. You have got to have success running the football, and you have got to convert on those third downs. And if that means Tyrod Taylor using his legs, if that means finding a guy underneath that can make those third down conversions like they had with Chris Conley, you mentioned that a couple times with two different quarterbacks threw him the same pass, and they were both for the first downs and ate up the clock. The Texans had a long drive that ended with a touchdown, Scotty Phillips touchdown.
Yep.
It was a Scotty Phillips touchdown in the second quarter, and it was a long drive, and it took like three or four third down conversions on that drive. That's what they're going to have to do, and when they have a chance at touchdowns, they're going to have to convert, and if not, be conservative and kick those field goals, because maybe defensively you're going to be better than you were last year. But I think the only chance the Texans have is if they're a conservative team who punts the ball well, who's good on special teams, and who can, you know, control the clock a little bit with the running game. And they got to win turnover battles. That's just, I don't think it's up for, you know, we can get excited about the first game looking like a team that was better than expected or whatever. It's just a preseason game. But I'm telling you now, the talent there on the offensive side is simply not good enough to match up with the talent across the NFL. Look at how many points are scored on a regular basis in the NFL. This Texans team can't do that. They can't score those points. So what they're going to have to do is shorten games up, win turnover battle. Like, the recipe is there. I can tell you what the recipe is, but executing the recipe is a lot harder. So that's why Tyrod Taylor making those third down conversions, that's a major, major deal. Phillip Lindsay hitting some runs to stay ahead of the chains. They can't have these, okay, first and 10, handoff, oh, tackle for a loss of two. Second 12 is a nightmare for this team. They got to stay ahead. And I thought Tim Kelly actually did a pretty good job with play calling there in the first half of finding things that the Texans are going to be best at, finding what Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills are going to be best at. One thing that we hadn't talked about with Davis Mills is that he looked kind of comfortable in the pocket. I didn't think he looked panicky.
No.
To defeat her a little bit. You know, the feet aren't – he doesn't really sit down on his throws, which seems like a lot of young quarterbacks do that now, where they have this little move where their back foot kind of flies forward with their front foot. They do this jump pivot or something. But I thought for the most part he looked fairly comfortable in the pocket.
Yeah, I know. He absolutely did. And you brought up Scotty Phillips and Darius Jackson. both guys, I think, you know what? It's interesting. Phillip Lindsay didn't have anywhere to run because there was nowhere to run because they didn't have any offensive linemen there.
That left guard was no good. You want to say why? We've got sound telling you why there was no offensive lineman. If you'd like to know, if you tuned in, because a lot of us were a little surprised, like, hey, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of offensive linemen, but cut number 11, we'll tell you right now, they were missing Titus Howard, Johnson, the left tackle.
Rod Johnson.
Yeah, Roderick Johnson and
Laramie Tunsil.
And also Laramie Tunsil. All three of those guys didn't even make the trip. Here's David Culley talking about why.
When we left to come up here, though, they seem to be doing well. You know, nothing serious. They have the symptoms. Obviously, there's protocol when you get the symptoms, and so we'll just take it from there with those guys.
Yeah, so there, it looked like the tackles in the tackle room, somebody caught it, and the other two were hanging out with them. And so they are no longer with us. So rest in peace that's not funny. So hopefully those guys will be back soon and not be affected by it. You know, Garrett Cole is just coming back from COVID, and you wonder, we've seen a lot of guys. How many guys have we seen that have had issues coming back after they had COVID? And, oh, by the way, did you see how Ron Rivera wailed on people? Did you see his quote?
I saw his quote to Albert Breer.
Yeah.
This is a guy who's coming back from, obviously, cancer treatments, and he is he's at risk. He's at risk. You know, my brother went to the hospital for a little bit of COVID. Yeah. He went to the hospital. He's vaccinated, but the Delta got him. And he ended up spending a little time in the hospital. He didn't stay overnight, but he had some issues with oxygen intake and stuff like that. Felt really bad for about 5 or 6 days. Got antibodies and a shot, and he was in a lot better shape. So he's doing much better now, but a little worrisome. He's a bigger guy, so you have some concerns with people, and Ron Rivera is one of those guys who has some concerns, obviously, as somebody who has battled back against cancer.
No, absolutely. Hey, I want to talk right here, and when we come back, we've got all the NFL stuff to talk.
Can we get to the Rams fight?
Oh my God, the Rams. We got to touch on Justin Fields. We got a lot of stuff from around the league that happened this past weekend that we have got to get to. But first, I want to get to Doc Linville, and I want to get to the ability to have your hair look great. This is what Doc Linville does every single day. He's become one of the biggest and the best. All you got to do right now is go to 975hair.com, and you're going to see a huge improvement. I'm telling you, it gives you more confidence. You just feel great. If you're young, even if you're older, you know, I've had a bald spot for quite a while, and I said, you know what? I want to do it. I want to get rid of that bald spot. And sure enough, I have not had one bald comment since I got my Doc Linville neo grafting. And listen, the process was easy. It was wonderful. You are going to love what Doc Linville does for you. If you're looking for the best way to get hair back, simple, easy, affordable, and you will love it, she will love it. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. The doc is great. The process is great. The people are great. 975hair.com.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Controlling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, what went on around the league? I think Justin Fields was probably the biggest story. The way that he played and the way he can move in offense. Now, he had his tight end, I mean, wide open, blown coverage, and that picked up a touchdown, and I don't know, but whatever it was, 30-yard touchdown, whatever it was. But I know he had Chicago pretty excited.
Some of it was, he made some really good throws. The one they keep throwing, it was a schemed tight end, as you mentioned. And I was like, okay, great. Right.
Well, he threw but he had a wide open guy.
So he had a really good practice on Thursday, and the city of Chicago went insane because every media member, they were running to their Twitter like, oh, my God, did you see Justin? Did you see Justin? Look at what Justin did. Justin completed passes today. Because he's been getting his ass kicked throughout camp by Andy Dalton. And Justin had a really good practice on Thursday, better than Andy Dalton. And so the media there lost their mind. And the fans got all excited. And the national media like, stop around and put Justin in now. Now. This national outrage must stop. So then Justin Fields has a good game on Saturday. And it's like people are ready to fight the Chicago Bears if Justin Fields is not the starter next week. Emmanuel Acho is going to fly to Chicago and fight Matt Nagy. I can promise you that. Emmanuel Acho will go and fight Matt Nagy if he needs to make sure that Matt Nagy understands that Justin Fields is that starter. In all seriousness, though, Justin played well. He looked good. He looks like a guy who is, you know, he gives me a little bit of my comp on him was Dak because he's got a similar build. He throws similarly. Like, I think there's some similar, I think there's some similarities to their game. They're but neither one of them is like an incredible athlete, but when they're scrambling from the pocket, both are extremely strong and they're big dudes. But I got to tell you, man, I thought Justin looked good in that first game once against preseason. So if we're not allowed to get excited or if we're not allowed to be relatively pleased with the Texans, then I can't be pleased about Justin Fields. So Justin was just slop also. It's preseason. Nobody cares, I guess. But they're going to have a problem over there because Bill Lazor, who is their offensive coordinator, came from, you know, he was previously at Cincinnati. So he knows Dalton. He's going to be down with Dalton. But the fact is his offense is actually, you know, he was a coordinator for that one year with that they had the big year for in Philadelphia under Chip Kelly what's his name? Who's in Chicago? Your quarterback who took over in Philadelphia.
Nick Foles?
Yeah, Nick Foles. You know, the fake one year that Nick Foles had a big one year.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Lazor was offensive coordinator. So I actually think that offense is going to really benefit Justin Fields, to be honest with you. Now, yay, Justin Fields had a good game. The story of the weekend was the Rams fight, to me. I have seen multiple angles of this fight, and this is why. Because you can have a knockdown, drag-out fight in the stands. No one wants to help. This is truly Black Mirror. You immediately go to your phone, and you start to get your videos because you got a chance to go viral. So you immediately have got to get your videos. There's no police came. No security came. This went on for a long time before anybody showed up. There were so many things going on in this fight. Number one, it was very tense. You have, are these Chargers versus Rams or was it Rams versus Rams?
It looked like a lot of
Ram on Ram violence.
Yeah,
too, I think.
Ram on Ram and Charger on Charger violence. It looked like there was, I couldn't tell. It was an Aaron Donald jersey to start with.
Yeah, it was somebody told me it was St. Louis Rams fans versus L.A. Rams fans. I'm like, what? There's still St. Louis Rams fans?
All three of them. And you saw them all three in the fight.
Yeah.
Versus Aaron Donald.
Wait a minute. So the big guy turns around, and this woman from behind the four guys that he's arguing with.
You got to tell. Okay, first to set it up. You have, did we find out if it's on our social media page yet, Aaron?
It's not. I'm getting access to it now so I can post it.
Okay, we're going to post it on Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay,
so you'll be able to go on Facebook. We need a Zapruder this.
You really do because there's multiple angles, Aaron. See if you can find, because in any string on Twitter, you will find the videos. But this one guy, it's getting heated. Somebody's trying to hold him back. He's yelling at three people in front of him. And you can see, man, it's a powder keg. You can see it's a powder keg.
And they got Chargers gear on, so it was Ram on Charger violence.
Yeah, it may just be fan, you know. Yeah. You know, well, who cares what you're cheering for? If somebody does something in the stands you don't like, something could happen. But you could tell, it's like, ooh, it's on the verge. It's on the verge. And things like that, usually security can come down and break that up once they see it happening. There was no security in sight. Now tell them about that fat girl.
Ooh. Well,
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Well.
Okay, fat girl with the hat.
Okay, well, and she had...
Do you need me to be
like,
more...
Like spaghetti strings, and those fell She's off the during villain. The fight.
She's the villain.
So behind, so the one guy's yelling at the three down below, one row below him. He turns around, and this girl from behind the three guys throws a beer up at him. And then he turns around, and he does... It definitely... It's a Three Stooges kind of thing. He hits all four of them with
incredible.
A backhand.
He backhands four guys
with one shot. And it was like,
But the girl from behind everything, throwing the cup at him, is what started. She started the whole melee.
She
got people's asses.
Yeah, it looked
kicked.
Like it had calmed down, and then
she should be tased in a public
turn,
square.
With his back turned, she threw the beer at him.
She comes
And then he went backhand.
How many times
and
have you seen that too? Where one guy from behind reaches over and throws a punch, and a whole melee starts.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of concept.
So then he's throwing punches, and he's getting some connections in there, hitting. But then they pulled him down. It's always good to be on a higher level when you're fighting. It's always good to be, except if you get pulled down. And then when four guys are just beating the snot out of you.
Wailing on them.
Oh, my goodness. And after he got up, he is bloodied. His face is all bloodied. But he still kept jawing now.
But
I got to give him credit.
No, he was... He got his ass kicked, but what do you expect? He's 4-on-1. He got pulled down it was basically a hockey fight where they pulled his jersey down.
Yeah.
But he was hanging in there by himself. You're going to lose the 4-on-1. But then the fight spilled over into some other big black guy started fighting with two other dudes who I don't know if these were these guys' friends or whatever, but he started swinging on them and connected multiple times. There were so many side fights going on too. There were side fights. I think there were three different fights going on at one time. But the thing where the guy got, you know, we talk about the hockey thing. If you look at the video again, John, there's a video where you can actually see it very clearly. There's several angles because, of course, 900 cameras or, you know, camera phones. There's a guy on the same row or the row right behind him, this older guy, who takes his foot and kicks him in the butt down an entire row. Flight of a row of seats. Well, it was over then. It was completely over. Now, what everyone started pointing out to us is one of the guys who was punching him, he started punching his butt cheeks.
Yeah, I know.
And like,
he must have been an LSU fan.
I'm just glad nothing else happened. And there was a lot of butt crack ended up showing up.
Oh, my goodness. His buddy that was with him.
Butt crack Billy.
He had his pants down around. Yeah. It was. Yeah, no. It was by far the greatest video of the weekend. I don't think there's any question about that. It was by far the greatest of the weekend. But then there was other stuff. You know, Dwayne Haskins looked good. Are we not excited? What are we not kind of? You know, it's just the fight. The fight that went viral is the story from the NFL football weekend.
But then there's other stuff.
But this one had
a lot of different camera angles, and there was a lot of different stuff going on that one. But how about you have no presence from a security standpoint,
None.
A police standpoint? They're going to take whoever runs the administration of that building. There's going to be some hell to pay because they're going to be like, you guys just embarrass us. We have 15,000 camera angles on this thing, and nobody. And I'm not saying one usher should go down and break it up. I'm not saying that, but you would think. I mean, come on, this is you're in California. You know, at any point. You're going to have fans fighting, and there's going to be blood, and there's going to potentially be knives, and there's going to be elbow smashes. It's an LA team involved.
You know what? I saw a lot of jabs too, Lance. I certainly saw a lot of jabs.
I mean, Site Jab was created because Hector, the owner, is a big boxing fan. And you know what? I saw a lot. Well, honestly, as many jabs as much I saw wild swinging right crosses and swinging from the hips. But Site Jab is there to tighten up your website. The best work that they do is the thing that stands out to me, I should say, is that they are able to create a website that has so many features on it that are conducive to getting people to stay on your site longer. That time spent on your site is the more time they spend, and the analytics will show you this, the greater the opportunity for you to make a sale. And so what your website needs to be is about showing the products that you have, showing the work that you've done. Maybe it's in video format. Maybe it's in picture format. But you want to make sure that people can get a hold of you quickly. You want to make sure they can get to your your information quickly. And then for a lot of people, they want to integrate e-commerce onto the site as well. So make sure that you go to the website, sitejab.com, S-I-T-E-Jab.com. You can see their entire suite of products. They're Houston-based company for over 23 years, sitejab.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 833 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. You got some thoughts on the fight? You're more than welcome to get in here. Seth wants to talk about it. Anything else? You're more than welcome. How about our Texans? How about our Astros? Just 2.5 games up now on the A's, but playing nearly 600 baseball, second best record in the American League, just a half a game behind the Tampa Bay Rays right now. So not too bad, not too shabby, despite the 3-1 loss yesterday. We can talk about that and a whole bunch more. Let's get Seth in here, though. What do you say, Seth?
Oh, hello. Hello, peace and harmony to my friends in Houston. This is Seth from L.A. I thought I would call and maybe add some information. You know, some of the things going on in L.A., you know, you spoke about the physical altercations. You know, it's a lot of tension right now in the city of Angels. There's the traffic and the pandemic and all, and sometimes that brings, you know, great disharmony to your spirit. So when that happens, sometimes you just need to clench your fist very tightly and smash it into another's face, and that brings a great deal of harmony back into your soul, you know, yeah? So, you know, there's nothing like getting that out of your soul to bring peace and harmony back to you. I had a low spot recently. I went to see, you know, the movie Space Jam.
Yeah.
It was less than ideal. So after that film, I felt the need to, you know, throw a person on the ground and stomp on their face until they were unconscious. And it was so cleansing for my spirit. So, you know, just understand, we are people of peace and harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's really good to get that out.
So the harmony, so the disharmony with COVID and the traffic and all that stuff is, so this fighting is to get more centered, like you center your harmony.
Yes, it brings your spirit back into harmony with the universe, because the evil forces.
Seth, I don't know. Seth
sounds more Native American than he does California.
I know. Is there a chance that we have fry bread? Anytime that we're in the reservation and we have a chance to have fry bread in peace and harmony. I'm watching Reservation.
I don't know about that whole.
Whenever you fight,
California,
you want to make sure that when you're fighting, your harmony comes back into the middle of your soul with Running Bear.
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
I know. No, the disharmony. So maybe Seth's the one in California. It's 6:36 there.
Yeah.
I cannot believe Seth got up that early. So what he's saying basically is if you have those kind of fights, it gets your harmony back into, it gets you reharmonized, I guess.
I guess.
I'm watching Reservation Dogs. So one of the listeners turned me on. Blake, I think
his name is.
Well, it's a Taika Waititi, who I'm huge fan.
I love that guy.
And so it's about these four kids on a reservation, or five, and it's okay so far, but there are some scenes. Like, there's these two little guys that ride bikes. I can't even describe it. I don't know how to describe it. I'm just going to show you a scene where these two guys talk like rappers, basically, but they're like, they're Native American guys, but they're clearly, they've got something going on from a, they got some kind of, I don't know if I want to say a disease going on, but they got some kind of something that causes them to be really short. And they're riding their bikes, and they are quoting rap lyrics, and it's pretty. I can already tell they're going to be my favorites in the show. But it's one of these things where they only, I think, every week, you know, they do a show. They don't let you binge the whole thing. So Reservation Dogs might be worth the look for you.
Well, I might wait. But that's a little while.
That's why I'm into the Native American thing. I'm waiting for the Native American thing because, I mean, I'm into it because I'm hearing the voices right now. So when he was talking, I thought the same thing as you. Like, you nailed it. Whenever Seth was talking like this, sometimes the disharmony can be beaten up by a single punch to the face. And then when we have an opportunity, you have the ability to bring all of your harmony into one focus. Like, wait, that is Native American. Seth is Native American.
He kind of, really kind of is. All right, let me ask you this question. Starts first, Justin Fields or Trey Lance?
Fields. I think it'll be Fields. I think ultimately Shanahan will roll with the guy who he knows, and the pressure is going to be so immense in Chicago from the fan base that I think Fields starts first. That's actually, I would have thought that was an easier one early. I don't know. I mean, Lance has had a really good camp. He had an 80-yard touchdown pass in the preseason the other day. I might want to think about that one. I don't know. Because the one thing I do know for a fact is
that it wasn't Kyle Shanahan's, a great ball. He was open.
No.
But he did throw a really nice ball to the tight end out of his own end zone.
There's just no rush. The way I see it is Chicago has a head coach who, and a general manager, they're both on the hot seat. And if they can get good play from a young quarterback, then that might buy them a little bit more time. San Francisco, they don't have a care in the world. They're fine. They got a good defense. They got a running game. They got a quarterback-friendly offense. Kyle Shanahan is safe over there. I mean, they can bring Trey Lance along a little slower. I think Chicago is going to feel tremendous pressure to show fans and maybe to show ownership the future with Justin Fields. So that's why I think he'll start first. Now, will he start the season? No. Could he be starting by week four? Yeah, I think so. Every one of these shows, I mean, unless Andy Dalton's thrown for 300 a game, every one of these talking head shows on ESPN, Fox, whatever, they're all going to be calling for Justin Fields. Like, no one's going to be in the Andy Dalton corner.
Okay.
All.
Starts first. Mac Jones or Ian Book?
Mac Jones or Ian Book?
Yeah.
Mac Jones.
I'm not so sure.
Really?
Boy, they are just, the two of them are not very good. Jameis isn't very good, and neither is Taysom Hill. Nobody's stepping up and doing anything. Ian Book threw for, well, I mean, it is what it is, but I wouldn't be surprised at all. I'm telling you, I think the Saints are going to fall apart. I do. Ian Book threw, was 9 of 16 for 126 yards. He had an interception, but I don't think Jameis is going to be very good. I just don't.
I don't. I think the Saints are in trouble. They're going to have to really. Taysom Hill, to me, is not a full-time quarterback. I think he's a good weapon. I don't think he's a full-time quarterback who gets the job done and leads a team into the playoffs. And Jameis Winston is just a turnover machine. And that's never going to change. It's who he is. And so the Saints had better be ready to really run the football well and play some great defense. Yeah, if there's a team who could backslide into six or seven wins, it's the Saints for sure. But, you know, the Falcons, you could be looking at Tampa might go 14-2. I mean, Carolina Panthers, I think.
14-3.
Yeah. Carolina Panthers, I don't think you're going to be very good. I think they'll be very average. Saints are going to take a step back. And, you know,
did you see PJ
Walker? The Falcons
just
aren't a great team.
Did you see how PJ played?
PJ did all right.
Would you?
Sam Ellinger had the game-winning drive for the Colts. And Ballard texted me and goes, "Look, man, I'm just going to tell you now." He said, "Sam Ellinger is a better player than we expected him to be." And my wife, and he texted, I said, "Please don't tell my wife that." And he immediately texted her, "Hey, just want to let you know Sam Ellinger's playing great." And this is before the preseason. This is just in practice. Over a week ago, it was in practice. Ballard's like, "Man, Sam Ellinger is better than we thought." And I remember watching tape thinking, okay, I saw him his junior season when he had two good receivers who were both drafted, Colin Johnson and whoever it is with the Ravens. And then last year, all of his guys, like, he had receivers couldn't make plays. They dropped a ton of balls. And then Sam started trying to do too much. You could just see he wanted to carry the offense on his shoulders, and he's not that guy. All of a sudden now he gets with a team with a running game. You get some good wide receivers. And Ellinger is, like, apparently playing pretty well and may end up beating out Jacob Eason for the backup quarterback role.
And I wouldn't be surprised at all. Sam Darnold struggles if they don't just go, you know what? Let's throw PJ out there, see what happens.
Oh, I could totally see that happening. Although they did make a trade for Darnold. I think they'll give Sam a longer
leash.
They say Sam has not been great.
Four or five games in, they go, you know what?
You think so?
Yeah, I think that, let's win some football
games. Listen, I think Matt Rhule wants to create a winning culture. And if Sam Darnold's not doing it, his draft pick he gave up, be damned. I mean, he'll try to win games.
You know who's a winner? You can be a winner if you go to the CCA Texas for the Fish Golf Tournament presented by Kyrish Truck Centers. It's Monday, September 13th, a noon shotgun. We'll be out there. There's going to be beer out there. I think there will be beer out there. So that's going to be fun. There aren't many spots left. If you want to sign up, call 713-626-4222. Just tell them you want to sign up for the golf tournament. That's 713-626-4222. Lunch, dinner, drinks included, multiple on-course games, an auction, raffle, all following play. If you don't know what CCA is, it's the Coastal Conservation Association of Texas. You fight for your right to fish through broad-based recreational angler and membership support, strong legal and legislative presence, 20 years of experience. CCA continue to battle for the health and longevity of our coastal fisheries and recreational anglers' interests in them. If you like to fish, this is something that you should get on board with. You can go to ccatexas.org and see for yourself if you want to donate or you want to be part of it. I think you can sign up at a golf tournament there as well. And then Kyrish Truck Centers, thank you for all that you do. And for sponsoring the golf tournament. You guys are big, 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 big help in doing all this. You're looking to get in, all you got to do is call 713-626-4222 and get in the CCA Texas for the Fish Golf Tournament presented by Kyrish Truck Centers.
Don't play about baby. Baby should go run for president. Look what God did. Took a time with me. He out of red, white, hold like a peppermint. Put the hotel, take the vibes in. She gonna fuck me up.
ESPN 97.5. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 8:47 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. BNC Astros lost yesterday. Lance McCullers pitched pretty well, just gave up a couple of runs. Threw 108 pitches. That's a lot of pitches in 5 2/3. But the Astros just couldn't do anything so offensively. So it didn't matter anyway. He was going to have to throw a shutout for them to win yesterday. For whatever reason, they just shut it down. But they did win four straight before that. They have a 2.5-game lead now, just a half game behind Tampa for best record in the American League. And now they go to Kansas City for four straight. You start with Odorizzi. You want to get off to a good start against a bad team. But you got to start Jake Odorizzi. This is his. It's his turn. And what are you going to do? This is a bad baseball team. You got to take care of this business. You got to beat their ass, and you got to move on. You got Seattle. 9 games against Seattle over the next few weeks, and that's kind of a big deal. You want to stomp them into the ground. Historically, you play good baseball against this team, so you want to crush that. They come here first, and then you go there. But I forget what the order is. But anyway, you got a bunch of games against Seattle coming up at the end of the season. You finish up with Oakland for a bunch of games. So this is a kind of an important stretch in that it's about damn time you start beating up on the Lambs. It's about damn time. So take care of this business against Kansas City. Don't play like you usually play against crappy teams. And get out of there with at least 3 out of 4. Anything short of 3 out of 4 is a huge disappointment, even in Kansas City. And then there's Alex Bregman, and that's not a good thing.
Alex Bregman is they basically are saying now that there is a setback with his quad. And he is not expected to start a rehab, or there is no timetable for his next rehab game. So Alex Bregman, basically, after 2 months of being out, the hope was that, okay, the quad's at 100%. Now it's a matter of working on his timing, getting his timing back. He was only 2 of 27 with the Skeeters. Oh, 6 walks, 1 strikeout. It's not like he was swinging and missing a lot, but he just wasn't Alex Bregman. And now there is no timetable for his return because there's no timetable right now for his next rehab game. So a big piece of the puzzle, Alex Bregman, even though you need him to get back on, you know, back to form. I mean, last year, a lot of hitters weren't on form. Do you know Jose Altuve barely hit over 200 in a regular season? So people, and right now he's in a slump. He's hitting 270, but he's gone into a little bit of a slump right now as well. But Bregman is the guy that you're really waiting. You paid him some pretty good money. You need to start getting something out of Alex Bregman. He's got to get back to being that key Alex Bregman for the Astros, but he's not even healthy right now. So, you know, Aledmys Díaz, good thing he came back a little bit hot because we're going to see a lot more of him. Yuli is back. Carlos Correa is back. You have the ability to field a good lineup right now. You have a really good lineup. Michael Brantley's hitting. Jake Meyers had a couple homers in a single game over the weekend, the outfield call-up that they have. So, you know, the Bregman thing, though, bothers me because it's already been a long time, and now a long time's going to get even longer. I say long time. 2 months is a long time.
Oh, that's a baseball season. He's missed most of the season.
Well, some people will point you to his Instagram, where after the story was that, you know, they said, oh, we don't know when his actual rehab's going to start again. We don't know. 16 hours ago, he posted a video on Twitter. Running out on the field. Here's my quad update. And then later in the night, posted a picture of him just pointing at his leg that, hey, it exists.
Yeah.
So. Cool. I just want to actually hear the GM
say, get out there and play then.
I mean,
then let's go out and play then.
It's a cool story, Alex. Yeah. But when the GM is like giving us these bad news, it's good to see he's actually kind of going the other way with it. That's good to see. But they got to get him healthy. I mean, your run is for you're trying to make a World Series run. So we'll see what happens. The starting pitching over the weekend was good. Starting pitching was good. It was a good series for you.
Yeah.
It was a good series. You had McCullers got out of a jam in a second. He got touched up for a run in the fifth inning, and the Astros lost the first 5 inning bet when they were minus a half. If people are looking at that, if anyone even had a care about that. And then Berkman gave up. I mean, McCullers gave up more runs, and that was all she wrote because the Astros offense went completely silent yesterday.
Yep. Let's get Oscar in here. He wants to talk about this was something that happened over the weekend. What do you say, Oscar?
Hey, thanks for the perfect segue. My question is, what do y'all think about Marwin Gonzalez being available?
Yeah, he was cut. He has not been good. Unless they start banging trash cans again, I don't see, he's been bad. He's just been really, really, really bad. Maybe coming back here with some guys that he's familiar with, maybe hitting in Minute Maid, maybe whatever it is, I don't know. Maybe he would be. Are you stunting the growth of anybody if you bring in Marwin? I don't know. Is there anybody that wouldn't be on the field? Maybe a Taylor Jones. You put Aledmys at third, and you put Taylor Jones at first. You know, Yuli is back now, so Yuli is going to be at
Marwin
first.
Was king cheater. He was one of the biggest cheaters
and
of all.
You know what?
And when he's not cheating, he's not hitting.
Yeah.
Somebody gave him a contract, and guess what? Marwin couldn't hit after he left the Astros, so there's no chance Jim Crane brings back one of the guys who was considered, you know, one of the guys who benefited the most from cheating. There's just no way. I don't see it happening. Would it? Now, it could benefit the Astros. He can play multiple positions. And, yeah, I mean, I could see where it would make sense from a team standpoint, but I just don't think Crane wants to bring him back.
No.
I'd be shocked.
I would be shocked.
Hey, let's bring back one of the guys who was accused of cheating in 17. We'll see how that works out.
You know, he hit 264 with his first year with Minnesota, which isn't horrible. He had a 736 OPS. It wasn't horrible.
He had 1 year
then
with a good
211,
OPS.
Then 202. So 202, the Red Sox said, that's enough. We don't need any more of this. Even though Alex Cora, I'm sure, was a big fan, loved Marwin, but he said, no, we're done with this. Sorry, Marwin, you got to go because 202 just ain't going to get it. No, his peak was 303. The 1 year in his career that he hit 300 was 2017, which was the peak of the cheating. And now he's hitting 202. So that's a pretty good indication that Marwin is about done. Marwin can play a lot of positions. He can make a lot of outs for you at a lot of different positions. So there is that. We know Marwin is a jack of all fielding trades, but he's going to make a lot of outs at different positions. That's not what you're looking for.
Can you make outs at several positions?
Yes, yes.
I mean, it's one of my specialties. I've make outs.
Now
I can make outs in the infield and the outfield. I mean, where do you need an out? I put it that way. Where do you want me to make an out?
I can make an out for you at a lot of different spots. I don't know. Yeah, maybe not. I mean, Click doesn't have any, no tie to Marwin Gonzalez. I don't know. Maybe Jim Crane would not want him back because of that. I don't know. But he's kept the core of the guys who were cheating. So, but Marwin was one of the huge benefactors. He and Mariznick were huge benefactors of the cheating scandal. And since then, not so much for Marwin anyway.
I mentioned this on Friday. If nobody wants him, do you offer him a minor league contract, put him in Sugar Land, and let people come out to relive the 27? You release another replica ring and let people come watch Marwin Gonzalez strike out in AAA?
Well, I don't know. I got to get out there.
I mean, it'd be a money
Marwin.
Grab.
Yeah. Well, maybe Sugar Land just not. I don't know.
Give out
yeah.
Astros World Series t-shirts and let everybody come watch Marwin Gonzalez play again. And when Bregman's doing his rehab stint, everybody flocks out there and spends their money.
It's not a bad move for Sugar Land. I don't know that Jim Crane cares about that, though. That's Sugar Land's money for all those ticket sales. So, I don't know. I don't know that would be something. We got to get Sugar Land a bunch of money. I don't know. And I don't know that people are flocking to see Marwin strike out anymore, to tell you the truth. It's 7:50. It's 8:57 ESPN.
Did they ever flock to see Marwin?
See Marwin. I don't know that. I don't know that.
I think I caught a Marlin just now. Yeah, Marwin Gonzalez. Marwin, I don't know. Yeah.
What I got to talk about right now, though, is my peeps over at Chastang Ford. You're looking for that Ford car or truck. They're just the best. I'm telling you, I just love what they do. And, you know, at car dealerships, there's always that worry is, you know, am I getting the best deal here? Are they working as hard as they possibly could for it? After I come up with the price, are you guys going to just add on a bunch of stuff, and now all of a sudden that car that was $30,000 is now $33,000 or $34,000? That's not what I wanted. And where are my payments got to be? Do you even care about that as a dealership? And one of the first things that they're going to ask you at Chastang Ford is, where do your payments have to be? You know why? Because they don't want you to be. What they want you to is to get into that vehicle that you feel that you love and you feel comfortable with, and all of everything that is in it is what you want. And right now, it doesn't get any better than that, because you order it and you get exactly what you want every single time at Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com. You can buy online. They'll deliver the car to you. Or you can go to the dealership at 610 Homestead, not Hempstead. They're wonderful at Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5.